Hello, welcome to episode 74, I believe it is, of Thomas and the Bible. This reading sucked. It was a little shorter because I did a longer episode last time. And in addition to being short, it's also short on content. Nothing really happens. But anyway, we'll see how it goes. Maybe it'll go better than I think. Also, all of my avid listeners and watchers will notice I got me some new glasses. And I just, this is the first time I've looked at my dumb face with these new glasses. I do kind of look a little hipster. I have a strict no being a hipster rule. I have a strict no style of any kind rule. I refuse. I buy shirts that come in bags, but not like, oh, look, my style is like I'm cheap and I have cheap shirt. No, it's not that. I buy shirts that come in bags because they come in bags and I can buy a lot of them. I don't know if this one came in a bag, but the plain colors, I just hate style. Anyway, I have a strict no style of any kind policy. But I already had glasses, and I work at such a business. I don't want to give away where I work, not that it matters, but I work in a business where it's possible that eyeglasses are a benefit of that business, so I get free pair every year, and I had the same thing. I already have two versions of the same sunglasses, and I was like, all right, screw this. I'll just try to get something different, and I think this is a good, almost not hipster thing. Anyway, who cares? No one cares about this. I don't know why I just did 45 minutes on it. Yeah, it's been 45 minutes. I know it feels like it's only been two, but that doesn't make any sense. Then it's like you were having a good time. Anyway, all right, chapter 18, 2 Samuel. And David numbered the people. This is still technically a child-friendly podcast, even though it's really not. I tried to minimize this glare. All right, this isn't going to work. All right, apologize. I'm repositioning. The glare is exactly the same, and this is easier. So let's do that. Okay, I'm all set. So everyone who's been listening this whole time, you can fast forward until this point. Oh, shit, damn it. And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds and captains of crunch over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And it sounded like he was speaking pig Latin or something. Itte on the Gittite, eh? I have one viewer. So to you, one viewer, sorry about the stupid glare in my glasses. God, so annoying. I didn't think of that. And maybe I'll have to try to retool this thing. But anyway, there's no way I can see the screen without them. So that's going to happen. Anyway. Enough of that. But the people answered, "Thou shalt not go forth." Oh, sorry. And the king said unto the people, "I will surely go forth with you also myself." But the people answered, "Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succour us out of the city." And the king said unto them, "What seemeth best to you, I will do." And the king, unless, of course, you had said I should come with you and fight, then I would have said, no effing way, I'm the king. But since you said not to come with you, whatever you say, I'll definitely do whatever it is you tell me to do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by the hundreds and by the thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Ixnay on the..." Deal gently for my sake, with the young men, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. Okay, so a little recap. Last week, Absalom was rebellious Absalom, and he sort of took control of the city. And then they started singing, we built this city on Absalom. And everybody in the city was seeing that. Oh, this was in the Bible. I don't know why you're giving me that look. That happened. And then David fled at the very, like, the slightest. Someone said, like, hey, I have this feeling that Absalom is rebelling. Get out of here, let's go! And he just got out, like, right away. It was weird. It was very abrupt. And so there, David was kind of stationed outside, you know, the people and yada yada. Anyway, David's got a bit of an army, and he's right now all he's doing is sort of arranging his army. So I have to like sit like this so there's no glare. God, that's uncomfortable. He's arranging his army, and putting captains. And what just happened now was that he's like, well, I'm gonna go with you guys and fight. Right? He did the move like when you don't want to pay the check, but you have to look like you're going to pay the check at a restaurant. You're like, oh, let me get that. Someone else got it. Ah, shit. My arm was right here. I was getting it out. My arm, my hand weighs 80 pounds, actually. So I was like, I was just about to pick up that check. But so that's what he did essentially with this. He's like, so I'm coming. Let me strap on my war gear. I'm going out with you guys, right? What? You don't want me to go out with you? Oh, well, whatever you guys think is best. Okay, I'll stay here then. I'll be here. Damn it, I had just almost thought about putting my war gear on. Oh, man, I'm going to have to undo all that thinking. And then he said, like, hey, guys, be nice to Absalom. Like, he's... I don't know what... He didn't give any justification. I was going to say, like, he's really not a bad guy. Absalom sucks. He's done everything wrong. He's a turd. So David doesn't really have any justification. He just says, be nice to him. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men, for the battle was there, scattered over the face of all the country. And the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. It was like Lord of the Rings, I think that's Two Towers, when the... You know, in the Moria. No, not Moria. The hell's the Helm's Gate? Helm's Deep? God, it's been too... I gotta read those. I'm stopping this podcast. I gotta read Lord of the Rings. It's been too long. I can't remember the name of anything. Helm's Deep, I think. But anyway, the forest comes out, all the trees, and they eat all the, you know, all the shitty things. Orcs. I don't know. It's like that. The wood, it said the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. There's one sword standing there like, I'm hungry. I didn't get to devour as many people as the wood. The wood's like, ha. Anyway, and Absalom met all the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under a thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Belgarath just said Isengard. No, it's not Isengard. If you remember from the meme, they're taking the hobbits to Isengard. Gah, 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 gah. And has anyone seen that? It's really funny. It's a video where it's like, I don't know. I can't remember now, but just Google, taters, right? It's taters. Potatoes. From like 10 years ago now. No, Isengard's, Saruman's place. I'm talking about when they're all holed up in Helm's Deep or Helm's something. Helm something or other, and then they're fighting, and then Gandalf, well, the movie, I don't know if you're going by the movie or the book, but in the book, the forest, the trees, like, get behind everybody that was, you know, shut up, it's not Isengard, goddammit. You're making me take valuable podcast time. No, I'm just kidding. Feel free to keep suggesting places that aren't the thing I'm talking about. no, what was I doing? Oh, this is a good part. I shouldn't have stopped. This is the only good part, actually. I'm just giving you a hard time, Belgarath. Hopefully you weren't taking offense. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head cut off. So this guy, Absalom, yeah, like I said, if you remember, he's like the beautiful one. He's just really good looking. His hair, the volume, you know, the volume of this guy's hair. Did the commercials where it like waves through in the light. There's like that one beam of light that's kind of shining this way. He did all those commercials. He's riding a donkey, and it says his donkey rides through like a tree that has low hanging boughs or whatever, and his head just gets caught in a tree, and he's just hanging there. That's what it says. Caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. and a certain, here, I'll read on just so you know, this is what I'm talking about. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? So Joab is saying, why didn't you kill him if he's just sitting there in an oak? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. It's like, well, I don't need a girdle. What am I going to use with a girdle for? And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Ex ne on the illing K of the Absalami. How do you do things that start with vowels? I'm not good at Pig Latin. Anyway, so this guy's saying, yeah, I saw Absalom. He's hanging like an idiot by his head on a branch. How did they come up with these things? Anyway, so Joab said, like, well, why didn't you kill him? And the guy's like, I remember like an hour that David talked about not killing Absalom, you know, for a good hour. And so I'm not going to do that. But this whole time when they're talking, Absalom's still hanging by his head from a tree branch. There's no way this is real. And he's riding a donkey. Like, if he was riding a race car and it's a convertible race car that's higher off the ground for some reason, and he rode under a tree and, like, hit something and just caught there and then, like, was mostly dead, then I could see this happening. But he's, like, riding a donkey like this. This is what I assume riding a donkey is like. I've never ridden one. He's just kind of going back and forth like this. And then, like, a branch comes, and he's like, oh, I see a branch there. And just, like, he stops. The donkey rides away. And then somehow he's just hanging there. There's no way that could happen to me where I would not be out of the tree. Could not happen. Anyway, so that's what it says happened. I call bullshit on this. I call shenanigans. Something's going on here. I don't know what, and we're never going to find out because it's not going to tell us. So, otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there's no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldst have set thyself against me. Whatever. He's just saying, and you would have been against me too. Could have just said that. Why didn't he just say that? Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand, and he thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. So Absalom's just hanging there, and the guy just takes darts, which I guess are arrows. I don't know. It'd be funny if it was actual darts. He's like, well, I brought these darts. I thought just in case it was a slow battle day, we'd get a chance to play some darts. And he threw the darts right in his heart. Which means that Absalom couldn't do anything. Like, I can't get over how stupid that image is. How would you even think of that if you were writing this fake book? I wouldn't think of it. You know, I've heard someone say, like, it's so ridiculous it has to be true. This is one argument in their favor, because this is so ridiculous, I can't imagine making that up. All right, and Joab blew, okay, and then 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. So people gathered around and were like, look at this idiot in a tree, and they killed him. So he's dead. And Joab blew the trumpet, and that's the last thing that happens in this reading, by the way. Sorry to disappoint you. You can just tune out from here on out. Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, every one to his tent. And now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day, which is Thursday, Absalom's place. Then Ahimaaz, so he had no son, so he built a pillar out of stones. This guy was a real loser. Then said, but he had great hair. He had great hair, as it says. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, now that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings. Okay, I understood you the first time. Because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushi. So there's this guy who's like the main runner guy, and he's like, oh, you want me to go? I'm just about to do a jog. You want me to go run, tell the bear some tidings? You know, I could use a workout anyway. But he's like the main good runner guy. So Joab's like, no, I'm not going to use you for this because this is a bad message. His son's dead. So I don't want him to, be mad at you. This is essentially what he's saying. So he says, Cushi. He like makes up a person who's never existed until this point. He says, Cushi, go tell the king what thou hast seen. Cushi said, like, well, you just made me up now, so I didn't see anything. Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and said, and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, maybe, you know, I just thought of this now, but maybe he found, like the fattest person. He's like, who should run the 5 miles or whatever it is? It could be 20, I don't know. Who should run back to tell the king this bad news? Ah, you, guy who, some Samoan guy or something. No, some guy who has diabetes and weighs, 350. He's like, you're the runner I need. You go tell the king this bad news. And we'll stay here until you get back. It doesn't say that, but that would be funny. So it should say that. But whosoever he said, Then said Ahimaaz the son. So the same good runner guy was like, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi quite easily, because Cushi, as we've decided, is morbidly obese. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up the roof, trying to keep the glare away, under the wall, and lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. The watchman saw another man running. He's like, it's actually only 3 blocks to the king. This guy's like, that's how he runs. If anyone tuned in just then, I think I saw someone did. That must have been kind of funny. And the watchman saw another man running, as I just said. And the king said, he also brings tidings. And the watchman said, why does the king need to tell him this? Oh, they're both running. They're both bringing tidings. Thank you. I can do my job. I know how to watch things. Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, son of Zadok. And he's like, the running of the next guy is like not running. Is like dying, kind of. The king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. That doesn't follow. If he's a good man, he could come with terrible tidings. But I guess maybe that's what Joab was thinking earlier. He's like, no, this is a good man. I can't send a good man with good tidings. You know that. Everyone knows that. Of course we do, sir. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord God, thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lift their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz said, oh, I have no idea. I was just working on my mile time. I have no news for you. I got nothing. But did anybody time that? Did you have any, was it in the, what are we talking? Like, did I break 5? Am I in the 4s for my mile? Or they're like, I don't know. And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushi came. Cushi said, tidings, my lord the king, I'm about to die. For the Lord hath avenged thee this day. I have a picture of him like side to side running, like finishing. Like I said, he picked the fattest, slowest guy. For the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? Cushi said, well, he's safe now. He's... nothing's going to hurt him anymore. The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee do thee hurt, but be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept like a little girl. Said that in the Bible. It said like a little pansy. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, oh, my son. Would God I had died for thee, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. That's the end of that one, that particular chapter. So now we're going to chapter 19, which is a nice, long, boring one. Better get a drink of water. It goes for you guys, too. Better get a drink of water if you want to survive this. And it was told Joab, "Behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom, and the victory that day was turned to mourning unto all the people. For the people heard that day how the king was grieved for his son." Well, they probably could have guessed that by the fact that David told everyone 92 times not to hurt his son, like over and over. So they could have guessed that David would be not happy when his son was later murdered. They could have figured that out. And the people get them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee the battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, "Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son," must have gotten really tiresome. And Joab came into the king, into the house of the king, and said, "Thou hast shamed this day all the faces of thy servants, which that this day hath saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons and thy daughters, and the life," well, not the daughters, they didn't do anything, they're always cooped up, they're not allowed to do anything, "and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines." And the concubines were put to good use, if you remember earlier. Absalom lay with his father's concubines in public. That was a previous episode. "In that thou lovest mine enemies and hatest thy friends." So basically Joab's saying, the fact that you're grieving, we just went out and fought a war for you. We killed a bunch of people. We fought very valiantly. And we come home and you're crying that the person we killed is dead. Which is not a good thing for town morale, you know, when everybody's, you know, the king's like, "Man, I can't believe you guys all came back and my son didn't. That sucks." Which, so this Joab character, I kind of like him in a way. He's very, he's messing with this again. He's very sensible, and he's apparently not afraid to tell this, like, wussy king what to do. "In that thou lovest thy enemies and hatest thy friends, for thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and we all had died, then it had pleased thee well. Truer words never spoken. Now therefore arise, go forth and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth till now." And the king arose and sat in the gate, and then told, and they told all unto all the people, saying, "Behold, the king doth sit in the gate." All the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, who we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now wherefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?" And David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, saying, "Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye the last to bring the king back to the house? Seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house. Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And say to ye Amasa, art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if thou be not captain of all the host before me continually in the room of Joab. And he bowed the heart of all men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants. So the king returned and came to Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. So if you didn't follow that, I didn't either. No, they're having some sort of a meeting, and like some of there, I don't know. I think they asked David back, because remember, David was expelled from school. And, you know, because the hair guy Absalom took over, and now Absalom's dead because he was caught in a tree, which you may remember from 10 minutes ago. And so now they're asking David back, but like they're not, I don't know, who cares. And Shimei the son of Gera a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household, and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gerah, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan, and said unto the king, Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son... So this guy, I think he was one of the people who was on the wrong side of the rebellion, and he came down first, and he's like, as a sign of contrition... Yeah, I think that's right. I'm here first, like, I'm sorry, do whatever you want. And, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? David said, What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there be any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore he said unto Shimei, Thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. So that was kind of a nice merciful thing. He basically said, Look, I know I'm king. Why am I going to kill people? I guess what he said. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day of the king. The king's like, I changed my mind. I'm killing this guy. He's not dressed. He smells. and it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king that he answered, My lord, O king. Where am I? And it came to pass when he said unto him, What the hell? I just lost my spot. I'm sorry for being dumb. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. Yeah, he's really lame. He's like, because I'm lame, that's why I betrayed you. Super friggin' lame. Sorry, I don't know what else to say, I'm lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all my father's house were but dead men before the Lord the king. Yet thou didst send thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right have I yet to cry any more unto the king? The king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. So this is another guy that he's forgiving. He's like, Yeah, it's fine, don't worry. I know you are lame. I'm not gonna argue with you there. That was pretty lame of you. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over to Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women, which apparently is crucial to going with the king? Therefore, then, should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, even though I've never heard of him until this moment. And I'm pretty sure you made him up. But, okay, I'll play your little game. Chimham should go over with me, and I will do to him that which seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that I will do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him and returned unto his own place. So that was some old guy saying, like, look, I know you're trying to reward me, but I'm too old. I just want to go home and die. Take my fake person that I don't think it was his son. Chim Cham. It's just some guy. He's like, take this guy I made up who doesn't exist. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chim Ham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, we have our brethren and the men of Judah, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? And the men of Judah answered for the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us, wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's cost?
Oh, there it is. Oh, sorry.
Or hath he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered with the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the word of the men of Israel. So there, I guess what happened was that the men of Israel are a smaller portion of the king's people. And this was what the meeting happened. It was the men of Judah. And then the rest of the people came and were like, whoa, why'd you guys decide everything without us? It's not very fair. And they're pretty pissed. And that was that. So this is chapter 20. This one's a little shorter, and almost nothing happens. And there happened to be, this is our final chapter, and there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the sons of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. So this is another rebellion, I think, that's happening. David is up to his ass in rebellions, that's for sure. And followed Sheba, the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. So the men of Judah, who I think got the long end of the stick, which is the better end, if you ask me, they are obviously staying loyal to David because they got the long end. They have the stick, this long stick. They're like, we got this long stick, so we're staying with the person who gave us this long stick, a.k.a. David. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took 10 women, the ten women, his concubines, who I mentioned before, who, had gotten busy with Absalom, or rather Absalom got busy with them, and he no longer could do anything with them because, you know, they've been ruined, whom he had left to keep his house, and put them in a ward and fed them, but went not in unto them, as I said. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in a widowhood. It's a beautiful day in the widowhood. Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. Okay, so this was a little confusing at first, because of what happens later, which you don't know. But I do, because I'm psychic. I can read the book's mind by just reading the pages before you do. That's how I read his mind. So this is the guy, I think he was apparently the head of the bad guys, the bad son's army, Absalom. And I think David, trying to be the great reconciliator, I think he kept him as head of his army, which doesn't seem right, but I think that's what he did. But then the guy, like, it looks like Amasa, who's this guy I'm talking about, is not really, maybe, he's hesitating in doing his duties. I had to read this a few times to see what was going on here. And David said to Abishai, now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get fenced cities, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. And there went out after him Joab's men, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men. And they went out of... all right, Belgrath. He said he came from Belial, who's one of the bad guys in Diablo 3, I think. Also Isengard. Shut up. It's not Isengard. Isengard is Saruman's place. I know the Ents kill people in Isengard, but that's not what I'm talking about. The Ents aren't trees. What, do you think Ents are trees? What kind of a Lord of the Rings fan are you? Come on. No, but that was funny. Yeah, Belial. I kept thinking of that, too. I was like, this is totally from Diablo, but... Yeah, so this is a tie. This is where the Bible ties into Diablo. It's gonna get much better from here on out because it's just gonna go into a Diablo like fanfic kind of plot. So that's great. I don't know why it had to go through all this beginning bullcrap with the creation of the world and all that. Whatever. So Amasa went to I read that an hour ago. It distracted me. And there came. Bikri, David said. Okay, so this other. Rebelliator, which is, I'm just going to make up words that end in tour, raconteur. This other guy, rebel, there we go, I know English. This other rebel, David's now like, well, this guy's going to cause us more problem than my son who, Absalom with the hair and the tree, and so that's how he talked, with the hair, so go kill him. Basically, go run and kill him before he finds a fenced city and just sits there. It's kind of what he said, which is kind of weird. And there went out after him Joab's men and the Cherethites. Oh, I did read this. And all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to proceed. Okay, so he sent everybody and they're going to fight him. When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went out before them. So keep in mind, Amasa was the guy I was talking about who was like tarried in his duties a little bit. And Joab's garment that he had put on, Joab was the old leader of the army, who's also the guy from earlier who tells the king how he feels and seems to be a pretty cool guy. But he also is the guy who killed Absalom, even though the king told him not to. You know, he's justified, I think. And I think he even did something else earlier. Oh, he was the one who, last episode or two episodes ago, arranged that fake widow or whatever to come talk to the king. I don't know if you remember that. But anyway... I just am saying this because it's hard for me to keep names straight. It must be even harder for you when you're listening and not seeing them. But that's just because I'm putting myself in your case. So maybe you don't have a hard time. I don't know. Anyway, this guy, Joab, he's going out to meet Amasa. Amasa just walks out somewhere ahead of people. It's not really descriptive. Joab goes out to meet him. And his garment that he put on was girded onto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. That sounds dirty, but I don't know if it's the Bible's way of saying, hey, is that a sword gilded to your loins, or are you just happy to see me? And as he went forth, it fell out. I hate when that happens. So a sword fell out of his loins, and Joab said to Amasa, aren't thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him, which it says is like a ritual back in the day. You just like go make out with someone's beard, which is kind of cool. I wish they still have that. Although my beard, no one's making out with me anytime soon by my beard because there's not a lot. But that's just because I have to live in society, which sucks. when he did this, Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. getting very homoerotic. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground. Okay, never mind. It's an actual sword. I thought it was just saying it was his penis, but no, it was a sword. Unless he has a really pointy penis. But I hope that's not what it was. So he killed him. Joab killed Amasa. That was why I was kind of building up to this, because it came out of the blue. He just killed him and he died, because that's what happens when people are killed. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba. So this is sort of some more vigilante justice that Joab is doing. He's an interesting character. I mean, as interesting as it gets in the Bible, which is not interesting at all. And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway, in the byway, because you have to say byway, you have to say highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field, and cast a cloth upon him, and when he saw that every one that came by him stood still. When he was removed out of the highway, all the people went after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel, and to Beth-Machach, and all the Baerites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Bethmachach. So they followed the bad guy, the next rebel, to a city, and they besieged the city. So this is like the siege of Harrogath from like Act 5 in Diablo 2? I don't know. I played Diablo 3 a little bit, but I'm way more familiar with Diablo 2. Never played Diablo 1. Though I'm sure it was great. Siege of Harrogath? Anyone? Belgroth? You want to get in on this? I think that's what it is. It's not Isengard. Don't you dare can say it was Isengard. The Siege of Isengard. Then cried a wise woman out of the city. See, you gotta get, you guys, you listeners who are in the future, you know, you gotta, you know, jump on the stream. It's kind of fun to interact. But you know, you don't have to. Whatever. Keep listening. Who cares? As long as you're listening, I don't even. As long as you keep forking over all the money that you're giving me. So then cried a wise woman out of the city. So there's this woman who's in charge of this city. And she was saying, "We built this city." I guess I heard that song, and now every time I hear "city," I think of that song. Then cries here. So this wise woman says, "Here, I say, pray you unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." And she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." Then she spake, saying, "They were wont." A little tricky, no apostrophe there. "They were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so. But if a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri, by that name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David, deliver him only, and I will depart from the city." So the woman's like, "Why are you going to destroy our city, dude?" And the dude is like, "Dudette, if you just give me the one guy I'm looking for, who's the rebel, what the hell's his name? Sheba. Yeah. if you just give me him, give me his head, then we're out. We're outski." And then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, he said, "Yeah, we'll be gone." And she said, the woman said, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall." Oh, okay. So get your mitt. Like, we'll toss his head out. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri. Just did. No, it doesn't describe that process at all. It just says, cut it off. "Hey, find Bichri. Cut off his head." "Oh, okay." "And cast it out unto Joab. And he caught it for a touchdown and then spiked it. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king." That was easy. She was very reasonable. She's like, "Give us this guy's head." She's like, "Yeah, sure, done. Anybody else's head you want? We got lots of heads in here. We're up to our asses in heads." Now Joab was all over all the host of Israel, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and over the Pelethites, and Adoram, oh, this is crap, who cares? Adoram was over the tribute, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. And Sheva was scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. And Ira, also the Jerite, was chief ruler about David. End of the reading. It was not Isengard, but you can say that if you want. Shana Aholman. Shana Ullman or Sean Aholman? I kind of like that better. But it's probably Shana Ullman. That's the end of our sode. It was a little short one, but I'm glad it was a little bit short this time, because I'm off to see Django Unchained and then play Jenga Chained, which I'm sure is a joke that everyone has made. So that'll be awesome, because you know, that guy rules. As usual plugs. You can tune out if you've already done all these things. Facebook .com/TNTheB. Please like it. That's how I can communicate with you. iTunes reviews, thank you so much. I'm pretty sure almost everyone in this who's a viewer has written an iTunes review, right? Thanks if you did. I like that. Helps me on iTunes. Very nice. And check out F This Podcast, because why is God not in his book? Sorry, it's just I don't know. Why is God not in his book? That's a good question, Flat Sharp. Why is God not in his book, he says. I don't know. There's no God anywhere in this book. It's all crap. It was ghostwritten. They published it under God's name, but you know God. He's a celebrity. He's not going to write his own book. He's not an author. He's like, yeah, write a book for me, whatever. He never even read it. All right, but anyway, I got to go see Django Unchained. So thanks. Check out this podcast. Really funny episode. This last week, I think it's funny every week because I think my brother's friggin' hilarious. But if you don't want to check that out, don't. But if you want to laugh and have a good time, then check it out. And that's it. And I'll see you guys next week. And thanks as usual for listening/watching.